welcome to FS Cast, the official podcast of Freedom Scientific. I'm Jonathan Mosen, introducing edition number 43 for June 2010. Nice to be back with you once again, and if you would like to get in touch with us about matters concerning the podcast, you can drop me an email at fscast@freedomscientific.com. That's FSCast, it's all one word, at freedomscientific.com. So let's take a look at what we have for you on the podcast this month. First of all, it is a busy time when a lot of Freedom Scientific people get out and about and meet with you and show you all the cool things that we've been working on. So we'll tell you about three of the conferences at which you can see Freedom Scientific people and products in the next month or so. Then we'll hear about Vision Awareness Days. This is another way in which you can see Freedom Scientific products in action and learn about the way that they can integrate into your life. And then we'll hear a great story about an accessible accounting package. It's great because I know there are a lot of people who are looking for software like this that can balance your checkbook and go all the way up to managing larger businesses, but also because it talks about how by accident, really, a company discovered what accessibility is and took it to the next level. That's coming up here on FS Cast. Just before we do all of that, though, a brief note about JAWS 11. As I record FS Cast here in the middle of June, our development team are working on an update to JAWS 11. It may or may not be published by the time that you hear this, but if not, it soon will be. To check if this update is available for you, first of all, you must have the last build of JAWS installed. That's build 1447. If you check for updates and you don't have that build installed, it will find that one first. You install build 1447, and then if you do another check for updates and the new one has been released, you will find it there. So just to clarify, if you do use the check for updates feature, make sure that you have the latest build now, 1447, and then the new build of JAWS, which will be coming quite soon, which will have a number roughly around 1461, give or take, will be available to you. If you prefer, of course, you can download the entire JAWS 11 package from the Freedom Scientific website. It is that time again where people are heading off in planes and attending all sorts of conferences, and we always look forward to this time. It's busy and it's hard work, but it is also great because we get to show you all the great stuff that we've been working on. Really, that's what it's all about. The National Federation of the Blind is holding its convention in Dallas, Texas. It begins on Saturday, July the 3rd, and runs through until Thursday, July the 8th. It's taking place this year at the Hilton Anatole Hotel. We've been there before if you're a regular attendee of this convention. This is at 2001 Stemmons Freeway in Dallas, Texas. There's plenty of information on NFB's website, including the agenda in a number of formats. So you can download that and put it on your Packmate and take it around with you, and you'll have at your fingertips everything you need to know about what's going on at NFB this year. We hope that you will keep Saturday free because we have some great presentations at NFB on what's new with Freedom Scientific technology. We start bright and early, actually, at 8:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning with what's new in JAWS 11, and we will, I'm sure, persuade Eric Damery to just give us a little bit of a sneak peek at what we've been working on behind the scenes here at Freedom Scientific on JAWS 12. Some very exciting stuff coming. So, Eric will be doing that. That's 8:30 a.m. on Saturday. It's going to be at the Senator's Lecture Hall, which is in the Tower Lobby. Now, if you've attended these presentations in the past, you'll know that they're very interactive, so feel free to bring some questions along. There will be time for questions from the audience, and we'll have a bit of fun as well. Then we'll take a break for lunch. It'll be a big lunch because everything's big in Texas, right? And we'll be back at 1 in the afternoon until 3. And this is Open Book 9 and the Pearl Portable Reading Solution. This is Dusty Veriz who'll be doing this for us. And you know, when we took this to CSUN, the response was absolutely phenomenal. We had people lined up a long way to see the Pearl, and when you see this in action at NFB, if you've never seen it before, you will understand why. Lightning fast optical character recognition with Open Book 9 in a portable reading solution that all just folds up. You can connect via a USB port and scan documents and have them reading aloud using Eloquence or, of course, our RealSpeak Solo Direct voices. Dusty will show you all about how that works. Members of ACB and those attending the convention there will be heading off to Phoenix this year, and the convention is on from Friday, July the 9th until Saturday, July the 17th. It's taking place at the Sheraton Phoenix Downtown Hotel, and you can find out more about that by going to ACB's website as well. There is a presentation at ACB on Braille displays being put on by BITS, which is the Information Technology Affiliate, and I'll be there talking about all the cool stuff that you can do with Focus 40 Blue. In both cases, at both NFB and ACB, we will have trained staff at the exhibit halls to show you our new products, all the new features, and you'll be able to get your hands on them yourself. This is definitely an interactive experience. If you want to have a play, say, with Windows 7, see how JAWS is working with it, take a document and have a look at it with Pearl, you can do all of that at the exhibit hall at both NFB and ACB. Now, once again, we'll have trainers on hand for free PackMate training sessions at both NFB and ACB. The PackMate is by far the most powerful note-taking product out there. If you make a list of all of the things that you can do with all of the different note-taker products out there, you will find that PackMates is by far the longest. And so we really look forward to this opportunity at both NFB and ACB to show you how you can make the most out of this very powerful device. If you go to the exhibit hall, once everything's up and running, they will be able to tell you where you can find the PackMate training suite. You can come up and sit down and get your hands on a PackMate. If you have one already, bring it with you, and I'm sure that you'll come away knowing something a bit more about the device. We'll have giveaways as well. You can find out more about that closer to the time by visiting our website at freedomscientific.com. As you can hear, we are all geared up for lots of fun and showing you all of the great new Freedom Scientific technologies at both NFB and ACB. Overlapping with ACB this year is the Site Village Conference, which is taking place in the United Kingdom in Birmingham. As well as our distributors there, we will have Eric Damry and Dusty Varese at Site Village to show you the latest technology, and that will be on display so that you can get your hands on as well. So you can check the usual websites such as Sight and Sound and Blazer UK for information on presentations that are taking place and also exhibit hours, etc. So a busy time. If you're coming to any of these conferences, stop by and say hello. For all kinds of reasons, not everyone can attend various national conferences where assistive technology is on display. And there's a real need out there for ways to see this technology in action and to have all the options explained. Freedom Scientific has responded to that need by taking the technology around the United States through Vision Awareness Days. Already, these have been attended by thousands of people, and the feedback we've received on these has been really positive. So if you're feeling a little disappointed at this time of year that you can't attend the conventions this year, we thought now would be a good time to remind you that a Vision Awareness Day may be happening in your area at some point. I thought it would be good to get a perspective outside Freedom Scientific on these events, so I'm on Skype now with Vince Cianfoni from NanoPack, which distributes Freedom Scientific products. Vince, good to have you on FSCast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Tell us a bit about NanoPack first, because I know the company's been around for quite some time now.
Well, yeah, we've been around since 1988, and we started out as mostly a company who produced designed a product for people with severe mobility impairment, have a product that controls environment for individuals with quadriplegia, typically running lights and fans and TVs and things like that via computer, but have quickly moved thereafter into the blindness, low vision market, and have been very successful and happy to work with the individuals in that community for the last 20 years, I suppose.
One of the things that Freedom Scientific has initiated in recent times is this concept of Vision Awareness Days, and normally we have Charlie Mattson and Ron Miller comes along as well to look after the blindness aspect of this. From your perspective as somebody who is a distributor of Freedom Scientific products, perhaps you can tell us about how this works for you.
It's a real benefit to the customers that we have in our community. Having Ron and Charlie come out and letting the individuals hear from someone directly from headquarters, I think, is a lot of value to them. They can get a different take on things than what they're used to us going on and on about from presentation to presentation, getting right in front of the individuals, I think, and being able to ask them questions and make comments is certainly a value to our customer base. But one of the things that I really like out of these presentations is that Charlie and Ron and anyone else who speaks gives our consumers who might have like needs or our evaluators who are working with individuals with like needs some real life ideas about how the products work and what features in the products can meet what needs in different ways than they may not have thought of before, or we may not have thought of to share with them before. Another nice thing I think about these events is that oftentimes our client base can be exposed to some upcoming products or some upcoming product features that we otherwise can't show them or don't have access to at that point because they're not yet to be released. And I know they enjoy being able to kind of be in ahead a little bit on some of the products that are coming out in the future.
So what's the format of these Vision Awareness Days for those who haven't attended one? What would typically happen?
We've been doing mostly the single-day events where typically people arrive maybe around 8:30 in the morning for registration. Then we do a half a day of blindness products and a half day of low vision products, and the order changes. Sometimes we're having blindness in the morning, sometimes low vision in the morning. But when Charlie and Ron are there, typically Ron gets up initially and talks about Freedom Scientific blindness products from start to finish. When we get to lunch, we break for lunch. Which is free and provided for the customers, which if for anything else, I think is a good reason to be there. And then,
yeah, see, who said there was no such thing as a free lunch, right?
That's right, exactly. that's exactly right. And then, say, blindness in the morning, then maybe Charlie will get up for the afternoon session and discuss all the low vision products. And all throughout, both individuals and our sales territory manager, Bobby Lakey or myself or other individuals will comment about how the products have worked for them or how they've worked for individuals they know. So there's a lot more than just technical specifications going on. There's a lot of real life usage happening.
When I've talked to people who've attended these, one of the things that people have really emphasized to me is that no one's really selling anything as such. This is kind of a way at looking at how technology can integrate into your life and achieve some very positive, tangible outcomes.
Yeah, no, I agree. That certainly is the format here. And we've had a lot of people coming back as repeat visitors to these sessions and people coming based on a referral from individuals who've attended because it is not in any way kind of a sales presentation. It's a no pressure. Come and not only see the products and speak with the individuals, but network with other individuals in your field or in your community that have like needs.
Who typically attends these sessions? Are they generally end users, assistive technology professionals? Who's coming?
We get, I think, probably half of the folks who show up are actual end users. They're independently just wanting to learn about what's upcoming or what's available or what they already have and maybe some different ways to use it, as well as professionals from eye doctors to rehab counselors to vision itinerants, to anyone doing evaluations for the products.
And I think it's the eye doctors, the professionals in that field, who are pretty important too in this process, because I've often been told that there has in the past been a tendency for eye doctors really not to know where to direct somebody whose vision has reached the point that really there's not a lot more that medical science can do right now. And many people have said it almost felt like they've reached a dead end. Nobody referred them on to assistive technology that could help them. So spreading the word in a way that means that professionals do have somewhere to recommend them, I think, is a pretty significant thing to be doing.
I'll agree with that.
How often do you have these vision awareness days in your area?
Well, it looks like we have been having them periodically, maybe once a month, once every 2 months. Coming up this summer, I've noticed that we have a 3 or 4 maybe scheduled in August alone. Had a couple last month, and then I think 1 or 2 before August. So we're starting to get a lot more into our territory. We're appreciative to have the resources of Freedom Scientific's products and Charlie and Ron to come out and cover our territory like that.
And so these are totally free for attendees to go to, right?
They're completely free for the attendees. The lunch is free. You just have to get there, and we're happy to have them.
So if people want to know more about the Vision Awareness Days that are taking place where you are, and you're in the Oklahoma area, correct?
That's right. We cover Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Kansas, and New Mexico.
Okay.
Are our states of coverage.
That's a pretty large territory that you're covering there.
We have a lot of ground to cover, but we're a little sparser than places like New York City.
Well, that's true enough, yeah. So how can people get in touch and find out more about the Vision Awareness Days and when one might be on in their area?
Well, we'd love for them to either call the office, and that number is 800-580-6086, or they can email me directly if they'd like at vince@nanopack.com.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you coming on the program and chatting with us about that and for your support of Vision Awareness Days as well. And I hope that people will head along and attend these and gain some benefit.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Now, these Vision Awareness Days, as I say, are taking place all around the United States. If you would like to find out whether one is coming up where you are, then you can visit this webpage, www.freedomscientific.com/seminars. That's www.freedomscientific.com/seminars. Sometimes I download trial software over the internet and find to my delight that due to JAWS's off-screen model and their design characteristics, the software is working 100% successfully. At other times, something works with the exception of just a couple of small issues, and as a JAWS user in many cases, I have the tools at my disposal to deal with those issues myself. At other times, something's been designed in such a way that it's inaccessible to screen readers, period. I often find myself contacting software developers either to praise them for having such an accessible package, because it is important to give positive feedback where that's due, or to try and offer constructive suggestions about how things could be made better for a screen reader user. The response varies markedly, but on occasion, you come across a developer who really gets it, who goes out of their way to make changes where they're needed, and from then on, to keep accessibility in mind when designing enhancements. One such example is the station playlist suite used by many blind broadcasters. Another is the package we're going to talk about now. Not only is this a story of a developer who sees commercial possibilities in accessibility, but it's also a product that fills a real need. It's called Cache Manager, and it's produced by Accomplish out of New Zealand. We'll talk soon with Raywin Whisker about the product and their positive attitude towards accessibility, but first, let's find out how well it actually works from a user's perspective. Kane Broland is a JAWS user who is particularly qualified to talk about financial matters, and he joins me now. He's been using Accomplish Cache Manager for some time. Kane, great to have you on FSCast.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It appears you and a lot of other people have had considerable success with the Accomplish Cache Manager and that the company has worked to ensure accessibility. How did you discover this application, actually?
You know, I actually discovered it because, against my better judgment, I opened one of those forwarded emails that you get from people. Usually it's a bad joke or just, you know, something you shouldn't even open. In this particular case, it was an article that I received in, I think it was March of 2009, from a friend that spoke about a gentleman down there in New Zealand named Terry Bartlett, who is a totally blind business owner, owns several small businesses out of a city called Dunedin. And he was describing how he discovered a software package that he could use to write checks, reconcile bank statements, enter transactions, develop and read reports on his businesses. without sighted help. And it was something that seemed like it was in its own way just as complex and maybe even more versatile than a QuickBooks type program, except it was actually something where the company actually is willing to work with blind users and visually impaired users to get it right. And I was so impressed that I actually pursued the makers of this company, the developers of the software, to see if I could play a role in helping to spread the word about it.
And so why was it of interest to you? What do you do that lent itself to making use of this package?
You know, Jonathan, I work as a certified financial planner. And, you know, those in the United States may know what that designation means. It's really someone I help people with a lot of personal and in some cases business financial management issues, and typically more taking the long view. So I work with retirement portfolios and insurance and estate planning and that sort of thing. So I'm not an accountant. I mean, I'm not out there helping businesses keep their books, but I certainly gain an understanding because in order to be able to do the work that I do, I need good data. And I understand how challenging it is for a lot of people to just put together and gain a personal understanding of just how much they spend, where things in their paycheck go to, how much taxes they're paying, what they're earning. And so it's opened me up to the knowledge that really just the average person can benefit from using a tool like a cash manager or, let's say, in the mainstream world here, something like a Quicken or a QuickBooks to help do a lot of the heavy lifting so that they can go out and do their life or their business and not have to worry about keeping a balance sheet on paper. What I've noticed, though, in my career as a financial planner is, as I looked at different tools out there, I did not see anything that does the sort of thing that someone like me or a certified public accountant would need to really keep people's books for them that was user-friendly or accessible to a blind person. And as I got involved also in certain things that were more blindness-related on a grand scale, reviewing some technology I was trying to learn about, heard a lot of horror stories about people that were perfectly capable, functional, visually impaired adults that would have to bring in a stranger or maybe even someone in their family they didn't even really like or trust just to be able to balance their checkbook for them. And of course, that opens up security issues. It opens up issues of, you know, maybe you're showing someone that you don't really like information about you and they're making judgment calls on your spending or how much money you earn or any number of different things. So really just from a privacy and a security standpoint, as well as a functionality standpoint, I was excited that there was a tool out there like Cash Manager and a company that actually was willing to take, people like myself seriously when developing and helping to market a product like this.
Yeah, I know a lot of people in the United States tended to use Quicken for a while, and over time it got increasingly inaccessible. I know in the early part of the 21st century, I was involved in running some tutorials that were produced by someone else on Quicken, and it just seems that that's dropped off over time as the products become less accessible.
Yeah, and I don't know really why that happens. I mean, no product, in my viewpoint, should ever become less accessible. It should just be a matter of time until it is accessible. And I do remember, and I'm sure you know more about this, Jonathan, than I, but I think there were actually some JAWS scripts for early versions of Quicken that came out in the late 90s, early 2000s. Same with Microsoft Money. But I have not heard about any of that happening in recent years. And then QuickBooks, from my understanding, has never really had a good set of even third-party developed scripts that make it very accessible. I know there may be some people out there that do it, but it takes a great deal of effort to even make it, you know, whatever, 25% functional by someone that cannot see anything.
Okay, so you've been playing with this for a while. How do you find it?
You know, I find that it does a lot of things extremely well. And I guess, Jonathan, the point that I would like to make is that as I've showed people a few things about the product and played with it a lot myself, if you understand that even your personal finances can be viewed from the point of view of a business, it's very, very easy to use. In other words, in a lot of accounting software, I think even QuickBooks or Peachtree, in order to really do it right, you have to enter And I'm just assuming that someone, let's say, has a small business, an entrepreneurship, a vending facility, something like this. You really have to understand the basics of double entry accounting in order to be sure that it comes out right, especially in a way that a CPA can take and actually interpret for taxes. In other words, the same transaction that you make will, you know, serve as an expense in one part of the reports. It will actually decrease the amount of cash you have on one side of the balance sheet, but it will also produce, you know, let's say the appearance of a product or service on the other half of the balance sheet. Well, with Cash Manager, you don't have to know any of that stuff. Really, all you've got to do is set the program up, create an account, which the program views as creating a company, but it doesn't have to be a for-profit company or a not-for-profit organization. The company that you set up is really just the account that it sees that it's going to be tracking. And then you really just enter in transactions, write checks, reconcile with the bank, and run various types of reports. And it allows for a lot of complexity in terms of the data that you enter, but it does not require you to be an MBA or an accountant or a financial planner to make sense of the program and to use it. I mean, I was able to get basic functionality out of the box after, you know, basically a 10-minute install process and then perhaps, you know, 30 minutes of cursory training.
And from an accessibility standpoint, are there any issues that people need to be aware of, or would you describe it as almost totally accessible out of the box?
With JAWS, I would describe it as pretty much totally accessible out of the box. Now, you know, the versions of JAWS that I have used it with have been versions 10 and 11. I have not tried to use it with older versions of JAWS very much, but I know with JAWS 10 and with JAWS 11, for me, it works out of the box to the extent that I almost never have to enter into the JAWS cursor at all. Unless I'm just kind of, you know, playing around and trying to see everything that I can see. But it's a menu-driven program. You can go between different fields. Like one of the things that I've noticed is when you enter in a transaction or setting up a bank account, of course, you know, there are various data that you want to enter. Maybe you want to select a supplier that you bought something from or a store that you bought something from in a combo box. Then you need to state the amount of the transaction, the date that it happened. You can go between fields of that record just really by tabbing through them in most cases, or you can actually enter a particular part of the program like the transaction side or the report side really by just hitting Alt and the arrow keys and just using those to scroll around the menus using the application cursor. With JAWS, I know that is the case.
So given the profession you're in, I guess you'd be a good person to ask this. Who is this suited to? Now, you mentioned that you could treat yourself, your personal finances, as a business, and clearly small businesses might benefit from this. What if you are in a CFO position of a larger corporation, something like that? Is it up to the task in that respect?
You know, in the earliest iterations of this program in the United States, it was really most workable for someone that just wanted to do their own personal stuff or for someone that was, let's say, keeping the books for a not-for-profit organization. What I would like to point out now is that the current version of Cash Manager, which is version 2010, is actually something that has been designed with a great deal of work involved to be updated for use with a for-profit business, and that is to account for the entire state and municipal sales tax structure that we have in the United States. Now, for those people who may be listening in from, you know, let's say the British Commonwealth countries, it's very different here because we don't really have a national value-added tax the way you would in Europe or maybe Australasia, but we have all sorts of different county and state and municipality driven sales taxes that have to be accounted for if I'm selling a product as in a retail store for a business. And the current version of Cash Manager does account for all of those sales taxes. And though the expense of buying the program and the support you get is certainly higher in the for business version, the functionality is definitely there. It's been tested by a lot of people, and although I have not played with all the features yet myself, I know that it works, and this is actually now being purchased by vendors who sell access technology here for their clients that are in small business, Jonathan.
Okay, so really, if you are looking at managing your own personal finances, if you run a small business, or maybe you are the treasurer for maybe a local chapter of your blindness organization or some voluntary organization, there's a version for you, and now there's also a version if you're in charge of a more large enterprise.
That is correct. There's actually three versions. There is a personal version, which sells for only $50 here in the United States. There is a not-for-profit version, which has invoicing and all the advanced capabilities except for management of sales tax issues. And then there is a top layer of the program, which just was released at the end of April, that deals with the American sales tax for U.S.-based for-profit businesses, particularly things like, you know, retail establishments, construction companies, or that sort of thing. This is a program that if you just want to download it and don't know whether you want to spend, you know, all of your money right now that's needed to buy the full version, or let's say you don't really know which version you need, you can download a fully functioning copy from the website that Jonathan will be giving you. And it does not time out. It actually allows you to input up to 50 transactions, I believe, before it'll actually prompt, okay, now you need to pony up for the money needed for the version of the program you're going to get. So, you know, you can play with it as much as you want. You can enter data. You can run reports, which are basically, they are in accessible PDF format. It's tagged PDF, so you don't have to worry about not gaining access to those. And you can play with it as much as you want until such time as you're really doing, you know, you might say heavy duty computing or you know, bookkeeping, to where you really need to have a rather large transaction history.
Fantastic. I appreciate you very much giving us that overview. And thank you for being on FSCast with us this month.
Thanks very much, Jonathan. It's a great honor. I listen all the time.
So let's find out more about how one chance interaction with a blind customer resulted in a very accessible solution that is helping a number of blind people around the world right now. From Accomplish, Raywin Whisker joins us from Auckland, New Zealand. Another one with a funny accent. Eh? Raywin, it's good to have you on FSCast. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
Let's talk a little bit about the company first. What's your history?
Well, the company's been in business since 1992, and the product was originally written by an accountant in Australia called Peter Bush, and he got to the point where he realised just as computers were coming into the world, that accountants no longer wanted accounting packages written on manual cash books. We needed to automate things and make life easier. But he had the incredible foresight to understand that business owners don't understand accounting. So the product itself has been written in a way that a business owner who understands their business but doesn't understand accounting can use the product effectively. They can use it without having to understand double-sided entry. They can put their deposits in. They can raise invoices for customers. They can reconcile everything. They can reconcile their bank statements, but not have to deal with the double-sided accounting. Then we have the second part of the product is that it gives the accountant enough information to do their year-end figures for the business. So it's pretty much the best of both worlds. 90% of accounting packages out there are general ledger, which is the double-sided accounting. We've got two levels that are not, and one level that is designed for the business, sorry, for the accountant. So we've thought right across the board. As the years have gone by, we've taken feedback from our end users. We've listened to what they're saying. We're listening to what they're telling us they need for their businesses. So we've built the product up to something that is very flexible, very usable, and incredibly easy to understand. We've been in Australia and New Zealand across that period of time. Totally. In about 2000, the business was bought solely by two people in New Zealand, so it is now New Zealand owned and operated. The two current owners are Paul Burge and Grant Hewson. Grant Hewson is our general manager, so we actively have people who own the business in the business as well. And we have recently, as everybody is aware, been made aware of the blind and vision impairment sector. We hadn't actually written the program initially to allow for screen readers, to be honest, we didn't even know that they existed. So we were very fortunate to hear that the basic of the program was written in a way that was easy for screen readers to read. Since we've learnt about this environment, again, we've worked with people in the industry, we've made contact with the Royal New Zealand Foundation of the Blind in New Zealand, Vision Australia in Australia, the National Federation of the Blind in America, and the Royal National Institute of the Blind in England, to make sure that what we're doing works with the target market that we're trying to get to.
It's obviously a very useful product for a number of blind people because unemployment is a big issue in the blind community. And for many blind people, they decide, well, one way around this is to come up with a good idea and try and become self-employed, run their own business. And there have been accessibility issues with other similar programs over the years. But when most developers of software get advised, hey, your software works quite well with a screen reader, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe when they're approached by a blind person either way, people kind of shrug their shoulders and think, okay, that's interesting. I didn't know blind people really were using computers, and leave it at that. But it seems to me you've actively sort of cultivated this market. And I'm curious about why you made the decision to do that, because I would have thought in the larger scheme of things, it's not actually a large market. Is it more of a kind of a social issue for you as well as a business one?
Yes and no. It certainly is an incredibly good feeling to know that we're providing a product and a service to people who really need it, and when there's nothing else there. It's really, really terrific to know that we are the first true accessible product in the marketplace. On the commercial side of it, we have been looking to expand for a couple of years now, and we went into England about 3 years ago, and in the greater scheme of things, we're a small player, and to try and create something unique in an area like an accounting package is actually quite hard. There are so many packages out there in the world. How do you make your uniqueness known? And in New Zealand and Australia, to be totally honest with you, the marketplace is not there for us to do this. But in America, especially, and to a lesser degree in England, the market is there. If we can get just a few percent of the blind sector, vision impaired sector in America, we will be doing very well, thank you. And that will give us a foot in to the general marketplace in America as well. And because we didn't have to rewrite our product, because we didn't have to make huge changes to our product, we will continue on with those changes, because through developing what we've done for the blind sector, we've actually made it easier to use for our sighted users. One of the things that a lot of people don't think about is people who do financial entry into packages like Cash Manager use the keyboard. They're data entry people. For data entry people to take their hand off the keyboard and put it on the mouse to go and click somewhere is incredibly frustrating. So one of the big pluses for just all of our users for making the changes that we've made is that now we are 100% keyboard based. So anybody who uses a keyboard, doesn't like the mouse, regardless of whether they're sighted or not, they don't have to use the mouse. They can now just use the keyboard. So that's actually one of the things that we see going forward. By making these changes, we're actually making it better and more useful for our sighted users as well. So why not? Why not continue doing it?
I was using it in demo mode, and that's another great thing we should talk about, that it is downloadable in a demo mode. And I really couldn't find any issues to complain about. It was very user-friendly. Was there a lot of significant change that you had to make to accomplish that?
No, very few. That was the beauty of it. When we looked at what we had to do to make it more accessible, it was things like make the tab order make sense. What we had done as we were developing the product was if we put in a new button or we put in a new process, it just went in the queue and it bounced all over the place when you were tabbing through it. But to make it more make more sense through accessibility, we made it flow from the left-hand side of the screen across the top and down the right-hand side, so that if you visually try and imagine our screen, we've got buttons along the top, buttons along the side, and the middle part of the screen is our table. So as you tab through, you go across the top, into the table, and then down the right-hand side. So it logically flows the way you see it as well. So again, it's made it useful for our sighted people as well as our unsighted people. Some of the other things that we had to change were some of our labels in the background. They either didn't make sense, or the way that when we first started it, we've got a few wizards in there and it read across one line and into the next line, which visually was actually in another block. But when we'd originally written it, we hadn't realised that when the screen reader read it, it read across one line and straight into the next line rather than reading the paragraph and then going to the next paragraph. So it was things like that that we had to change. So as far as the program was concerned, nothing major at all.
And it seems to have been a win-win situation. Obviously, it's great that there is this package out there for people who need it. But also I note, you know, you talked about that hopefully it would be a foot in the door into the US and other markets for you. But I also note, for example, that there's been coverage here on New Zealand television. I remember, I think it was a business article on one of the TV channels. So it's probably raised the profile of the company overall in your established markets as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any advertising is good. And coverage of like you're talking about, it was NZI Breakfast Show. It was terrific. We had a interview with Mike Gawley on Radio 1 and 5. So it was very useful being able to have that information out there talking to people. A great way to market, you know, have a good news story and get it out there, and you don't have to advertise, you get the marketing anyway.
I imagine there's a software development community, you know, as there is with most professions. Have you been asked about the whole accessibility thing? Are you being recognized now as people with expertise in this field by other software developers who want to know how all this works?
No. On the greater scheme of things, in the other market, the other players in the same sort of market, we're reasonably small, and although they know of us, we don't typically register as a competitor. We work in different markets. We don't sell in retail. We only sell direct or through accountants, so therefore they don't see us as a strong competitor, which is an advantage in some ways.
A lot of blind people listening to this will be thinking, man, you know, I wish that so many other software developers were like you, where you obviously were interested, you had the basics of something good, but you've really gone that extra mile. As you say, you've contacted blindness agencies, you've worked with a number of blind individuals. Why do you think it is that sometimes when a blind person approaches a software developer about some non-standard behaviours, etc., that it really feels like you're banging your head against a brick wall? There is so much apathy out there, even hostility sometimes. It's not frequent, but on occasion you get people saying, well, get a sighted person to help you use this application, don't bother me.
A lot of it has to do with the size of the company. We're a reasonably small, tight, low-profile company, so we don't have lots of hierarchy. We don't have lots of channels that you have to go through to get something approved. When you look at some of the other players out there, and the obvious one to talk about worldwide would be Intuit, Quicken, is a huge, huge company. So to get anything changed there is going to take you a long time to get through. You've got to get through the first level. You've got to find someone in the company that's interested. Then you've got to get the boss interested. Then you've got to get the developers interested, and da-di-da-di-da, and on and on and on it goes. And when you've got someone coming to you saying, hey, look, if you did this, this would be terrific, they look at the base product. And if we were lucky in the fact that our base product was written in a way that we didn't have to make an awful lot of changes. But a lot of the products out there, especially today, have progressed on. They've changed and they've gone to the web. They've gone to a visual product. They've gone to some of the products out there that may not necessarily work well with screen readers, and to make it accessible for screen readers pretty much means they have to rewrite the whole program. Had we been in the point where we'd had to rewrite the whole program to make it more accessible, we probably wouldn't have gone down that path. But for us, because the base was written in a way that was easy to alter and it was going to be useful for our sighted users as well, why wouldn't we do it?
And I suppose the message there too is that sometimes when blind people are doing advocacy, it is a good idea to think about not just why we as blind people want this outcome, but to pitch it in a way that makes it enticing for the developer as well. In other words, try and come up with a scenario that says this is why it's in your interests to do this.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter what you do in life. You have to think about that, because if there's not a win-win situation and you can't get something to make the other person interested in it, why would they do it? And apathy is a very big part of life today. Unless you're hungry for something, you're not going to go and do it. One thing that you will notice in business as you go around the world, if you go to smaller markets, you're going to get better service and you're going to get more interest from the people who you're dealing with because they're hungry for business. The bigger markets, the companies that have sales business happening without them doing much about it, why would they change? There's got to be a want, there's got to be a need, and if they're hungry, they'll go looking for it. If they're not hungry and their business is happening regardless of what they do, they're not going to change.
So Kane talked to us a little bit about this, but I wonder if you could just go over some of the key facets of the product, what it can do. And I also understand there is a range of additions, all the way from if you want to use this at home to make sure that you can make ends meet at the end of a paycheck period, all the way through to a fairly significantly sized enterprise.
Absolutely. We've got four different levels and one add-on, and it starts with what we call our home version. And the home version is a product that allows you to do budgets, it allows you to do unlimited bank accounts, it allows you to import your bank statement and reconcile your bank statement. Significantly for the vision impaired sector is that it allows you to print checks, so you can create your own checks. You don't need any sighted help to start looking after your bank account and finish reconciling it. The whole thing is done through Cash Manager, so you can do the whole lot totally by yourself. The home product is only accessible off the web regardless of any part of the world that you're in, to try and keep the cost down. And it's a price point sensitive product. You can buy support for it if you need it, but it's not compulsory. And the support is a 3-month session, and so if you wanted to update to the latest version, you buy that support program, you can get to the latest version, you've got access to our support desk. So that's our basic level. Then we get into our business levels, and the business levels, we have four different countries. We have New Zealand, Australia, UK, USA. I believe, but I can't confirm, that the USA product is also usable in Canada, but we need to get that checked out by accountants to make 100% sure. Each country changes the sales tax process because each country is quite unique. So you have to make sure that when you download that demo version, which we'll talk about shortly, allows you to use your sales tax how you need to within that country requirements. And within those business versions, we have what we call a light. And a light is a cash book. It does cash in, cash out, your sales tax returns, your bank statement import, cash profit report, and that's pretty much it. We have the next level is our standard version, and I call our standard version our management version. We have a monthly analysis. We have a budget setup, so you can do actual reports versus the budget reports. We have what we call sub-accounts, which are cost centres. And to explain what that is about is, for example, if you're a trucking company, you have 5 trucks, you want to know which truck is profitable, you can have a cost centre per truck. So you put all your profit and all your expenses, all your income to each truck individually, and then at the end of the month you can run reports to see which truck is doing well. The last level is our plus version, and our plus version is the general ledger version. We would only ever recommend that anyone that knows accounting, that understands, truly understands accounting, go to that level. The philosophy is, if you don't understand accounting, don't do the plus. If you're not a mechanic, you don't fix your own engine. So the same theory applies. Accountants train for years for a reason. It's not just adding up numbers. Keep plus for the experts, use standard or light for your business, and you'll come out in a much better state at year end. Then we have invoicing. The invoicing module can be applied to any of those levels except home. And the invoicing module allows for customers, so you can keep a customer database, you can raise invoices to your customer, you can raise quotes to your customer, you can convert a quote to an invoice at a press of a button, you can edit any of these things once they've been created if you need to. You can lock invoices once you've emailed it or sent it to your client so that you know that you've sent it so you don't change anything on it. You can apply payments to the invoice when you get the money in. So there's no two-sided steps. It's all processed in one. You've also got suppliers in your invoicing, and the suppliers, as your invoice is coming in, you need to pay them. You can apply your payments to the invoices as you process it. Plus, we have a stock or an inventory module within that invoicing module as well. So when you raise an invoice to a customer, you apply a stock to it, the stock levels go down, and you get reminders about reordering levels, your stock's getting down on your shelves, you've got to order some more. So everything is bundled up so that it's a one-step process. One of the other things that you need to be aware of too is that when you buy the product, other than home is a single entity, unlimited bank account. All the business versions are three entities that you can manage with the one license, and unlimited bank accounts per entity. You don't have to be in support. It can just be added on into each product as you go.
Let me just clarify then, the first version you mentioned, the personal, the home version, that is not what you would install on your PC, correct? It's all web-driven?
No. It's all PC-based.
It's all PC-based, okay.
Yes, in New Zealand and Australia, we have an online version. It's not web-based. It's exactly the same product that's on that demo. We do not have the online version available in the UK or the USA at this point. So in those two situations, it's PC-based. In New Zealand, Australia, it's either PC-based or online. But it is exactly the same product. One of the problems that we have come across with our online version is what we call a terminal server environment. So you don't go to the internet, you don't pull up a browser, type in a web address and go to our product. We actually give you an address and you go directly to our server. The problem we've got with that, with the vision impaired people, is that we haven't found a way to make it work with screen readers at this point. So we wouldn't recommend anyone with a vision impairment or using a screen reader to use the online version. We'd recommend they use the PC-based at this stage. But that demo version that we're talking about has home, light, standard, plus, and invoicing all on the one demonstration file, and you can reevaluate it, so you can reset it. You can have a look at home, go back and change it to light, have a look at standard, have a look at plus, so you can play with it as much as you like. It's not time-based. It is limited to 200 transactions only, so you can play with it as much as you like before you decide to buy it.
That's excellent. It's a very straightforward process to get that demo. I actually popped onto the website and downloaded it and installed it myself. There's just a simple web form to fill in, and you download an application, you run that, and it talks you through. And I note that right on the very first screen, it has a checkbox there that asks if you're a screen reader user, and presumably that just turns on a few extra accessibility features.
Well, no, actually what it does is we specifically in the bank reconciliation screen, for the sighted users, we put a nice graphical tick in there, but screen readers, of course, say it's a graphic, which doesn't help anybody. So what we've done is by turning on that vision impairment special code, VI, of course, it changes those graphics to a check unchecked. So it doesn't actually do anything. It doesn't add any features. It just changes some graphical to worded check uncheck, so it makes more sense.
So give us the website where people can go and visit, and there's lots of information on there as well as the download itself.
Terrific. The best site to go to for everybody is www.accomplishglobal.com, and on there we've got a link to the different country that you need to go to, New Zealand, Australia, UK, USA. So go and have a look, and if you've got any queries at all, post a email on the website and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Well, congratulations. There's a need that you've met, and I think this is a wonderful story to get out there about developers who've gone the extra mile, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because, you know, it makes commercial sense, and that's a great win-win story to tell. And I really appreciate you coming on the podcast to talk with us.
Thank you very much for offering us the opportunity. We really hope that it flies. We we want this to work for lots of different reasons. And when we bought the home version out and we realized that we could make it usable for screen reading vision impaired people as well, it gives you I know this sounds a bit corny, but it gives you a really good warm fuzzy feeling inside because you're helping people who need it.
And at the same time, hopefully doing the right thing for the bottom line, and that's got to be good.
Well, you have to do that, don't you? Well, we haven't got a job.
Otherwise, you're not here, I understand. Yes. Thanks so much.
Terrific. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
And that concludes FS Cast for another month. We'll be back in July with more. And a reminder that that address, if you want to get in touch with us, is fscast@freedomscientific.com. If you are one of the thousands of blind people traveling over the next little while, safe travels to you. We'll look forward to your company next month.